Hallelujah. Praise God. God is so good. So, so good to us. Well, the message that the Lord put on my heart today is watchman prayer. God calls us to be watchmen and watch out for what God's doing, watch out what the enemy's doing, and be very aware and very alert. And Lord, I just thank you for your word that's always alive and relevant to us. And we ask, God, that as we study your word today, that it will become rich and alive to us so that we will grab it in our hearts and we will run with your word. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. My key scripture today is from Isaiah 62:6. And it says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not be silent. Well, in the old days, a lot of times they had cities with walls around them, and they would put watchmen on the walls, watching for good messengers or bad messengers. They would watch for the enemy on the walls. And so they watched over cities, but they also were placed to watch over crops. And especially when it was almost harvest time, they would put extra watchmen around a crop to watch it so the enemy wouldn't steal the harvest. Hallelujah. And, we've planted a lot of seeds in Douglas, seeds of righteousness, seeds of the word, and we're expecting a harvest. It's harvest time. And so in our prayers, we have to watch over the harvest so the enemy doesn't steal it. We're going to read Genesis 2:15. And it says, then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. So God brought man to earth and to keep and tend the garden. Tend in the Hebrew is adad. It means to care for, work, serve, and worship. Our worship is part of the tending of the garden. When we worship, it's like it keeps the atmosphere clean. It keeps the enemy away. The devil doesn't like to be where there's worship. He kind of turns and runs the other way. And the word keep is shamar in the Hebrew, and it means to guard, protect, watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. We all have a sphere of influence, our assignment that we need to guard. We need to keep the serpent out of our garden. We need to protect what belongs to us, our family, our church, our business, our city, whatever is within our assignment from the Lord. I know we work in Mexico a lot, so we have an assignment to watch over the areas where we work in prayer. Amen. We need to care for, work, serve, worship, guard, protect, and watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. You know, with our children, we guard them, we protect them. Hallelujah, in our prayers and in every way that we can. Ephesians 4:27 tells us, neither give place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, leave no set room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. When we let sin come in, it's like we open the door for the enemy to come in as well. So we're not to give any place for the devil. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the life of God comes from our heart, and we're told to keep it and guard it, keep it pure. We're going now to read 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11, and it says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. This is Paul talking. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So here it's saying that if we have unforgiveness in our heart, if we haven't turned things loose, that Satan can take advantage of us. The word advantage means to have or hold a greater portion Well, we don't want anything in us that gives the devil right to hold a portion of us, to take the greater portion of our life. We must deal with the enemies that are within us, tormenting us. It may be a stronghold of unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust, fear. We must ask God for help, and we must command whatever it is to leave, because we are the children of God, and these things have no place in us. They have no right to us. So if you're having a problem, like with fear, just say, fear, leave. Leave me alone. I'm God's child, and he watches over me, and fear has no right in my life. And sometimes if we have a problem that's really been hard on us and we're having a hard time gaining the victory, we need to have a prayer partner. We ask somebody to pray with us. Stand with me in this, because two are stronger than one, and we need the help of others coming in. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, and then we'll drop down to 18. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Down to verse 18, it tells us praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful and to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're not only to be watching over our own selves, but all of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, and holding them up in prayer and watching for the enemy that would come against them, to stand in prayer with them against any enemy that would come. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we do have an enemy that's out for our destruction. We're going to look at some of the things that Satan would like to do for us that we need to stand and watch for. Satan has a strategy to hinder our communication with God and his family. We may lose our desire to pray and also become isolated from our church family. When prayer ceases and we pull away from a healthy spiritual support system, we become open to receive the lies of the enemy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We're always to be in communication with God. And now we're going to read Hebrews 10:25, and this is in the Passion Translation. And it says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day drawing near, or that day drawing. And so, you know, we need each other to stand strong in the Lord. We need prayers. We need encouragement. We need to be encouraging others and praying for them, holding them up in prayer. Amen. Satan also has a strategy to hurl darts of fear into our hearts. Unbelief shuts us down, separates us from the spirit realm. On the other hand, faith quickens, makes alive, is active. Faith touches the unseen power of heaven. 1 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So if God didn't give us fear, then where does it come from? It comes from the enemy, right? Psalms 23:5, in one of David's Psalms, he's talking to the Lord, and he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God, even when we have enemies around us, God wants to prepare a feast for us right in the middle of it. And a table, he says, you prepare a table. A table speaks of provision, of peace, of fellowship, a place of rest and peace. So we can be at peace eating from the Lord's table even when there's enemies surrounding us. Hallelujah. God can give us peace and bless us. John 4:18 tells us that God is love and there's no fear in love. All of our actions come from one of two basic emotions, fear or love. When we are confident of the love of Jesus, we know that he won the battle over the enemy and we have no reason to fear. You know, when God's for us, who can be against us? God's greater than any enemy. Hallelujah. He loves us. He loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. And so we really have no reason to fear. Don't let what the devil is doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. The devil likes to do all kinds of wild, scary things to get our attention on him. But the truth of the matter is, don't look at all of his calisthenics trying to distract you. Look to God. Keep your attention on God and his presence with you. Hallelujah. Satan has a strategy to bring division, offense, and confusion. The effectiveness of the body of Christ rests in the strength of its unity. This is why unity is so often attacked. We must settle in our hearts that we simply will not accept division. This includes keeping a tender heart, a forgiving spirit, and refusing the root of bitterness to take hold. Love drives out division and magnifies unity. You know, the devil is he's really good at playing with our minds. Well, this person's thinking this about me, or that person's thinking that, or, you know, they don't like me, or whatever, and he begins to build things in your mind where you just kind of want to separate yourself from him. Well, it's just a lie of the enemy. You know, we are strong together. We need each other. None of us are independent. We need one another, and we need to not let anything hinder our love for one another and our need to be together and to edify and bless each other. Satan has a strategy to use betrayal to overwhelm you. When you're overwhelmed, you move from a state of advance to a state of resignation and retreat. You know, and the devil is the betrayal of the brethren. You know, that's what Revelation says. Betrayal always comes from the enemy. It never comes from God. Hallelujah. And we don't want to let, if we feel betrayed, we don't want to let it into our inner being. We need to keep up a shield against it and stand strong in the Lord. Satan has a strategy to oppose your advancement because your advancement means his defeat. Yay! When we're advancing, we're defeating Satan. Hallelujah! And that's good news. Protection from the attacks of the enemy are not automatic. God's plan is to alert us to Satan's tactics. We must be alert and watchful. If we are not alert and watchful, Satan will take advantage of us or get the bigger portion. Watchmen would sound, in the old days, watchmen would sound the alarm when they see someone coming. And they would know if this is a friend or this is an enemy. Hallelujah. And God shows his watchmen a wave of his spirit coming so that we'll be ready to catch the wave and go with it. He'll also show us good opportunities that are coming so we can be prepared to receive them and take advantage of the opportunities he sends our way. Hallelujah. Often God's people, God opens their eyes to see angels and see what God's doing. And greater is he that's with us than he that's against us. Hallelujah. And God wants to show us if the enemy has an attack plan for us so that we can prepare and stand it against us, stand against him, so he can't do any damage. You know, if we see him coming, we can stop him before he gets here. Hallelujah. Watchmen recognize, discern, pay attention, and listen. They are aware, alert, awake, and sober. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being drunk on wine or any kind of alcohol dulls your senses. You're not alert. Whereas being full of the Spirit keeps you alert and ready. We need to cut off the enemy's supply line. We're going to read Mark 14:38, and it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit's indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if we're feeding the spirit man like we need to, if we're praying, if we're reading the word, we're ready. We're alert. We're ready. And the enemy can't slip up on us. Don't sleep on the job. Shake off the days, the cloudiness. You know, sometimes we just feel like I'm walking around, you know, just in a daze and cloudiness. We shouldn't do that. We need to be awake, alert, ready, know what's going on around us. You know, if people that are watching our safety, like the Border Patrol, you know, if they sit at the border all day long just playing games on their cell phone, are they going to see what's going on? You know? And we have to be alert and ready and aware. Be paying attention. Hallelujah. James 4:7 tells us to submit to God. Our victory over the enemy is directly dependent on our submission to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist is to apply pressure against or to exercise. The more you resist, the stronger you become. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that life more abundantly. Hallelujah. God wants us to have life and life more abundantly. This scripture is the dividing line between what comes from God and what comes from the enemy. Is what's happening, killing, stealing, and destroying my life? Or am I having life more abundantly? You know, if something's coming against us, that in the negative, we know that this is an attack that the enemy sent. Hallelujah. We should never get comfortable with what the enemy sends. We know God's will by his word. If something is not God's will for us, we need to continually resist and speak God's word over the situation. Agree with what God said, not what the enemy's trying to say. We're going to read Matthew 18:18 through 19. And it says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if any two of you agree, that word agree in the Greek is symphoneo, which is where the word symphony comes from. And symphony is like instruments playing in harmony. If we're praying the same thing before the Lord, if we're in harmony with the Spirit, we're praying in agreement. If any two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. So it's powerful when we agree in prayer, when we have the same heart toward God. Verse 18, I'm going to read it in the Rue translation. Here's a part of the believer's inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I'll forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. That's putting, you know, a lot of, we have a lot more power than we realize. And we need to be making the right decisions on the behalf of God's kingdom here on earth. I'm going to read that again. It's just so good. Here's a part of the believer's inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I'll forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. That's pretty special. Now we're going to go to Mark 11, 22 through 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says," and that word "says" in the Greek is lego. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. "Whatever he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says." So Lego really means building blocks. That's where the toy got its name, building blocks. And our words are the building blocks that frame where we live. And so we need to be speaking words of life and hope and the words repeating God's word instead of agreeing with what the enemy says. If the picture of our life is barren and just ugly, we need to change what we say. We need to change the building blocks that surround us so that we will be healthy and lush and beautiful. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing's too hard for God. By being in the Spirit, we can overcome the enemy's schemes. We must conquer. We are warriors. God doesn't let us get into any battle that he doesn't equip us to win. In the Word of God, God gives us every weapon we need to come against the enemy, that we can be victorious, full of victory. Hallelujah. Worship will uncover strongholds of the enemy. The presence of God will open gates for the release of God's strategy for overcoming the enemy and entering into God's glory. I tell you, Satan hates worship. When we're really lost in worshiping God, the presence of God comes down and devils just scatter. They don't want to be. You know, have you ever been in an old house and that had cockroaches and you walk in and turn on the light and the cockroaches just run every direction? Well, it's that way with Satan. When you turn on the light, he just scatters. He says, "Let me away from the light." And our worship is light. It's wonderful. It's God's presence with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have authority to administrate the business of heaven, which is God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're God's body in this earth. We're his feet. Hallelujah. And God's given us authority to administrate his business, which brings heaven to earth, or God's will and God's heart to this earth. Zechariah 4:6 tells us that it's not by might but nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And so we need his indwelling presence. We have his indwelling presence. If we're born again and have invited him in our heart, we have him. He's there. And it's through his presence within us that we win the battles. It's not by our own strength or our own power. It's through his indwelling presence within us. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Here it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but it says that God manifests His Spirit through His people for everyone's good. In other words, we're in this chapter also talks that we are the body of Christ. And we are all part of Him. He's the head. He'll always be the head. But we are the body. And you know, the body needs all of its body working together. You know, we're to work together. We're to flow together. We need the strength of each other to win our battles. Hallelujah. We're going to look at a few of the gifts of the Spirit. Discerning of spirits is where we see into the spirit world and we are made aware of God's presence, of angels, and also of evil spirits. Know your enemy, not by your own understanding, but by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Many times Jesus rebuked evil spirit and then healed the person. Some of the spirits He cast out were the spirit of infirmity, deaf spirits, blind spirits, dumb spirits, and dumb meant they're mute. They couldn't speak. We all could use a little bit of deliverance from dumb. But anyway, that's really speaking of mute, not being able to talk. A word of knowledge is a word or fragment of the knowledge of God concerning facts or events. Supernaturally revealed that the individual has no way of knowing by natural means. You know, a word of knowledge is when we get a piece of knowledge on something that we had no idea about that came from God. I mean, then that can be in simple things like lost things. God can tell you, go look there. And that happens all the time around here. Go look there and you'll find it. And that's like a word of knowledge from the Lord. A word of wisdom is the supernatural agent by which either we will know how to handle a situation, spiritual or natural. In other words, the wisdom of God lets us know what to do with whatever we're facing. It's a supernatural impartation where we know what to do where we wouldn't have on our own. It can have to do with business solving, human problems. I've heard of all kinds of natural testimonies of people that God put something in their heart and it just came from nowhere. They know it came from the Lord, but the guy that created cookies and cream ice cream, he was just driving down the freeway. And the Lord said, cookies and cream ice cream. And he developed it. And now it's, I think, the third bestseller of ice cream anywhere. But that came from God. It was a revelation. God spoke it to his heart. And then he put Oreos with ice cream, and it became a bestseller. Hallelujah. Krauss that developed the plow. God showed him in a dream how the plow was to work. And there's been a lot of people that God gave them divine insight into something that they couldn't figure out on their own. And God blessed them. Bill Linenweaver is one of the ones that developed the night vision. And they were working on something technical, and they had been just stuck and stuck and stuck, and they couldn't find it. And God gave him, I think, in a dream what to do, and it worked. And they had been stuck, and they had all the best minds together, but God showed him what to do. And God, we are children of God, and He wants to speak to us, and He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophecy is when God speaks through people. It's the voice of God that comes through people. And when we speak out what God says, it's creative, it brings light, it's His will that He wants to do. Remember in the scriptures, God said, "And let there be light," and there was light. Hallelujah. Prophecy is very important. Remember when Jesus spoke to the storm and He said, "Peace be still," and it just died down. Hallelujah. Remember Ezekiel prophesied to the dead dry bones and they came to life. Prophecy, it sets God's will in motion, His word in motion. It's creative. It's powerful. Hallelujah. So God uses His people, flows through Him with words of prophecy. And it's just, what is God saying? And He wants it spoken because it has the, it changes things. We need to be aware of our position in God. We are God's children. We're His representatives on the earth. He's the body and we're the head. But the body hasn't been dissected from the head. We're still one. He's our head. He'll always be our head. But we are the body. We are His hands and feet here on the earth. We're His feet in the earth. We do His will. And when Jesus died on the cross, He went to hell. He took the keys of death and hell out of the devil's hands. Hallelujah. He won the victory. And then He gave authority to His children. Hallelujah. And so our job is to enforce what Jesus already paid for and won. Hallelujah. It's like we're His, He gained the victory, but we're His policemen here. And we're hold up the badge saying, "I'm a child of God, and Satan, you can't do this." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 23. And it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." We're not doing anything in our power or our strength. We're doing everything in the power that He has. He's within us. Okay, verse 20, "which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all," A-L-L, "all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." And so Jesus is far above every principality, every power, every demon in hell, every name that's named. Jesus' name is far above. Jesus' name is far above the name of cancer. Jesus' name is far above the name of poverty. Hallelujah. And then we're going on to read some more good stuff here. Verse 22, "and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." So Jesus won the victory, and because we are now His sons and His daughters, or His body in this earth, we also have the victory. Ephesians 2:6 says, "and He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And it's back to the thing of you can't separate the head from the body. Jesus is the head. He won the victory. We're His children. We're His body. And so what he, you know, he's not a headless horseman. You know, we're not headless horsemen. He's our head, and he's connected, and we're in him. Hallelujah. We're going to read Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verse 2 and 3, and then go down to 5 and down to 9. And it's when Joshua was taking the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land. My servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I give to them, to the sons of Israel. He was in a hard place. The Jordan River was behind him, and this impenetrable city of Jericho was in front of him, and here they were out there, you know. So he was like between a rock and a hard place, big time. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. And then down to verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And that's us. You know, God will not fail us or forsake us. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you in all places where you go. And so even though they were in a terrible place in the natural, God was with them. And we all know the story of Jericho, how they won the battle there. The Israelites didn't take the entire land all at once. They took city by city according to the instruction of the Lord, and God gave them a different instruction for every battle. They had to be listening to God. And every battle we face, we need to go to God, okay, what's the plan here, Lord, to win this battle? We need to be connected to the Lord and be listening to the Lord, because he has the answers on how to win the battle that we're facing. And as long as the Israelites obeyed God and did what he said, they won the battles. But there were times when they were disobedient and disobeyed what God said to do, and they lost. Or there was times when they had sin in the camp. God told them not to take the enemy's treasures to themselves. Burn them, leave them behind you. And they disobeyed. And there was, you know, destruction because they disobeyed God. But we have different battles in life, and God wants us to win everyone. But every battle is different, and every battle is going to have different instructions. So we need to say, okay, God, we're facing this right now. What do we do about it? What's our choices? How are we going to win this battle with your help? And listening to the Lord in the midst of the battle will take us to a place of victory. When we enter into a battle, it's very important to keep a clean heart so Satan has no foothold in our life. We need to continually every day say, God, search my heart, know my heart. If there's unforgiveness there, if there's anger there, or whatever, it can keep us out of tune with God. And so when we're going into battle, we need to prepare our hearts and purify our hearts. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. We're not going to read all of that. That's a big story by itself. But Ephesians 1:22 tells us that Satan's under our feet. And part of the armor of God, it says, put on your feet, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. And remember when we was talking in Psalms 23, God gives us peace at his table in the midst of our enemies. And when we are living in peace, it gives us the power to trample on Satan and to put him under our feet. Hallelujah. And it's important to know the power of our weapons. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We have God's presence. We have His word. We have all that we need, if we will use it, to win every battle that we face. Hallelujah. After 35 years of ministry, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." A good fight is one you win. You know, two guys can get in a terrible fight, and the one that won will say, "Whew, that was a good fight." And the one that lost will just, "Oh, that was a horrible fight." You know, but a good fight is when we win. And God gave us all we need to win the battles that Satan sends our way. Amen. Hallelujah. It's important to stay focused on the Lord. We're not to keep our eyes on the darkness. We're to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're to stay in that secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and we'll find safety there. We're going to read Colossians 3:1-3. "If then you were seated with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. For you are died, we died to self and sin, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So we need to keep our focus on the Lord. And really, if we keep our focus on the Lord, everything else will work out all right. Hallelujah. Don't live as a reaction to darkness. Rather, live in response to light. Don't deny the problem. Rather, deny the problem a place of influence in your life. I'm going to read that again. It's just so good. Don't live as a reaction to darkness. Rather, live in response to light. Don't deny the problem. Rather, deny the problem a place of influence in your life. We go toward whatever we're looking at. We move toward where our sight is set. And if our eyes are on the Lord and His word, we're looking toward Him, and that's the direction we go in. But if we look, get our eyes on the storms around us and on the trouble around us and what we're facing, then we actually move ourselves closer to that. How many of you have ever been driving and something gets your attention way off there, and all of a sudden you turn around and you're looking at whatever's going on over there? Pretty soon, you start to go that direction. We go toward what we're looking at. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord and on the light, that's the direction we'll move in. We're going to end this with Philippians 4:8, and this is in the Voice version. And it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy." So, if we're thinking right, we're going to go in the right direction. Don't let the enemy distract your attention from the Lord, because He's our hope. He's our hope. He's our life. Hallelujah. One of the devil's favorite things is to try to get us to look at failures in our past. Well, the past is past. Look toward Christ. Look toward what's in front of you. Don't look at the back. In the past. If you drive your car, and your whole attention's on your rearview mirror, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. We can't let Satan take our attention back to our failures, what happened in the past. We have to keep our attention toward the Lord and in front of us. And then we will have the victory. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time of your word. We thank you that your word will stick strong in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word and the power of your presence that dwells in us and around us. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord, and we thank you for letting us be aware and alert of all that's around us and take the and go with you and your plan and your purpose, for you will lead us to victory over and over and over again. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for blessing this people. And you know, because we're a body, we need each other's prayers. And if there's somebody here that's needing prayer for something you're going through, that I would be very happy to pray for you, and God will give the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for letting your presence so saturate our city that people will become aware of God and realize they need the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing every church that names the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for pouring out of your presence and your spirit all over this city, Lord. We thank you for bringing a harvest of souls, for people coming to you and surrendering their lives to you, Father, for you bring them light. Hallelujah, Father. You just can turn the worst situation around. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your anointing. Lord, we bless this people this week. We thank you, Jesus. We take this house of hold of faith. And we just put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of this household of faith. And we thank you, Jesus, for your protection upon every person that's here, upon their families, Lord, upon all of our members that's not here today, Lord. We pray your protection and your peace over them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you all, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter's teaching Wednesday night. What's your subject?
False teaching.
False teaching. Okay. Praise God. Well, have a wonderful day.